Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, good evening, everyone out in the world. This is the Transformation Cafe. One of your regular diners here on the cafe is Robin Misevich. So glad you could read us tonight, or if you're checking us out on demand, we thank you for doing that. And whether you're driving around or just sitting with something nice and a cup of tea or coffee, we thank you for joining us. So let's look who's here on the table tonight. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Mr. Jamie, calling from Seattle, is doing most excellent.
Most excellent. And how is it in Seattle? Is it most excellent in Seattle?
It's not bad. Can't complain.
Not bad. Can't complain. Okay, cool. Very
humid.
Cool.
Finally got some rain.
Is that kind of typical for Seattle to be humid?
Well, I'll tell you, we got some rain finally, so it's nice. I'm not complaining.
Okay, that's good.
I dressed in layers and I get a little too warm, so I guess I was a little too layery today.
You were getting excited thinking there was actually fall in the air. I get
right.
I get you. Yeah. Yeah. And tonight we have a guest, Jeff. It is Jesse White. And Jesse, I had gone to the Morro Bay area in California, and Jesse was there at a market. What was that, like a street market that they had in Morro Bay. So I wanted to introduce him and talk a little bit about art and all kinds of wonderful things. Between Jamie and Jesse, I'm sure we're going to have a real interesting conversation. Just to remind everybody, if you want to get into the conversation with the switchboard, that number again is 646-727-3206, or go ahead and go into our chat room, and we'll be able to add in those conversations. So how are you, Jeff?
Doing really well. Had a really nice day here in Los Osos, right next to Morro Bay on the Central Coast, and it was actually really sunny down here, as opposed to Seattle, where you guys were just mentioning. Been up there. I lived up there for about 6 months one time, where I was first introduced to the wire wrap, which is what I do with the silver and the wire and gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
But then I moved down to this area where I've been for the last 10 years. Ship kind of run aground, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been wire wrapping on the Central Coast for the last 10 years here in this area, developing my skills and having a real ball.
Okay. So what Jess is talking about is one thing he had for display, he does these beautiful wire wraps. Rings, and you do bracelets too, right? I wasn't sure if there was bracelets out there or not. So just all different kinds of artwork where he's using semi-precious stones, and I wound up getting a moonstone. I found out in the Cambria area, that's actually an area where they mine the moonstone in the local area. So I was checking that out, and he has some beautiful designs that he had put together. And I asked him, I said, well, how did you get started in all this? So why don't you share that story? I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I was painting windows for the Christmas season up in actually Southworth in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this lady recognized a picture of an angel, and she just loved the eyes. She was really drawn to it. So I met her, and I started talking to her, and she would, you know, bring out some jewelry and show me what she used to do in the 80s, and that she thought I would be really good at it because I was doing such fine handcrafted pencil work. As I was doing portraits and other paintings and stuff for people on the Puget Sound area when I was up in Washington. And she thought that my skills would transfer over to crystals and silver and gemstones and stuff like that a lot, really well, too. So she was the first one to introduce me to that. Her name is Cindy McBeacon. She's a famous artist, poet more so. She lives in, like, somewhere in Seattle. She moved.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of her, Jamie?
I'm not familiar. No, I haven't. There are a lot of artists up here, though, you know.
Yeah, well, you're in good company, huh?
I hope so.
You're like, yes, I am. So there you go.
there's a lot of zombies up there, you know, walking around in Seattle, you know, because of the weather and all. But there's also,
this morning was very sunny, but then it did kind of cloud up naturally.
Uh-huh. I think it's interesting because I didn't really know that about Jesse until here. We get right on the air, we're finding out, you know, here you've been up in the Seattle area, and there's a lot more connecting with you and Jamie that I hadn't even dreamed of.
Well,
levels of your artist artistic ability here.
10 years ago? We were here 10 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Jesse, you were here, they were there 10 years ago?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was there about 10 years ago. Went up about 2 years ago just to check on things, and everything was still there. Yeah.
Seattle had not moved away. Oh my gosh, isn't that a good thing? Okay, good.
No, I think they've torn some parts down and rearranged a little bit and built some new stuff. So, just like anywhere else.
Uh huh. So, are you, Jesse, familiar with the downtown Seattle area? Because that's where Jamie has his tattoo parlor.
Nice. Well, I like the Pike Place Market.
Actually, it's in the north of downtown in the Capitol Hill area. There's definitely a downtown, and we're north of downtown. We're in the Capitol Hill area, yeah.
He's in Capitol Hill.
Nice, nice, yeah. My sister was living up there. She was real fond of the nightlife. Kind of goth scenes and things like that. They're there, and there's a lot of music, and it's a really cool place.
Mm-hmm.
It's most definitely it's got its nightlife for sure.
So one thing that I thought was really interesting when I was talking to Jesse was he just seemed to have a very knowing way of working with the stones, because all the way that all the stones, he had designed everything to go along with the stones. This sounds really strange unless you're kind of like with that, because one thing, since I'm a nature intuitive, I'm very sensitive to plants and how they get put places and how they're happy and things like that. And at one point, I've got crystal healing in my background, so I'm definitely sensitive to stones and stuff when they're being placed and put places, and they were really happy with the way Jesse put them together.
Well, thank you. I try to display them in a way that they're going to be most usable as far as releasing the clarity of the stone and the energy, and letting things flow in a natural way rather than blocking the energies. And stones have a lot of life inside of them. They have every element of life, and I really feel like they resonate and vibrate with the different frequencies depending on how I'm feeling and how I'm feeling with the stones. And when I get rapping with my stones, I really just, it's a really intimate relationship between me and the stone and wire. And there's a lot of conversation going on between me and my hands and the work I'm doing to get it right. So it's just something I've been working on for a very long time. It's very intimate as far as like being in sync with the energy of the stone, because you have to be, you know, to do such work. You have to be really connected and open to the stone and the wire.
Have you noticed over the years that your just sensibility and just the level of relationship has changed? And what does that look like? I'm just like when you first started and how you are now, and just kind of understanding the energy and then working on with that as a way of, you know, like you're saying, expressing their energies and what they have going on.
Well, I think a lot of energies and stones are very healing and very moving, as far as moving energies and making things flow correctly. with the body. So what I've learned from working with the stones is that they let me know the easiest, more simplified way to do things, working with the stones and making it more beautiful as I'm wrapping around it with wire. And I really feel like being with my stones and my wire and getting into it is the best way to really to make things work.
Mm-hmm. So it was kind of fun because when I had just come from a gem show that they had just up the way in Cayucos when I winded up meeting Jesse. And he went there the next day. So how did that go for you, Jesse?
Well, I got a ruby for a great price, a little 5-millimeter round, faceted ruby with a lot of clarity to it, for a really excellent price. I think I paid half price. I paid about $50 for that. So I was really surprised, really thrilled with that. I also picked up some moonstones, a lot of them for $1 a gram. They were just given away almost. So I got a bunch of those. Moonstones are a fun stone. They're called the Traveler Stone because they're a good luck charm. In traditional lore, that the moonstone has been a very sought-after stone by princesses and queens, thinking that the stone was going to bring them some sort of good fortune.
Well, see, now I have one, so I must be a queen, and I know that my fortune's coming to me. So that's really awesome. What was funny was when I was looking at all the different stones, I kept picking out the moonstones very easily, which I thought was kind of interesting because through the day, my older sister was actually looking for one, and I was helping her, and I didn't really think I was going to get one. And then I wound up meeting, you know, Jesse, and here I get a ring. But tell me about the ring, the stone that I wanted to get. He said it was kind of otherworldly.
Oh, the labradorite. Yeah, it's Celtic mythology. The labradorite is the otherworldly energy stone. It's the sister stone to the moonstone, and they're in the same family, feldspar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the labradorite is supposedly the stone of other worlds, sort of the Celtic mythology. Talks about dragons and fairies and stuff, and where they come from.
No.
Right. So that's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah. And I've actually talked to a few really old wire wrappers. One that swears he's actually met a fairy. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that because in buying a stone, he wanted it activating that vibration of working with a fairy?
Yeah, he's very open and aware to things like that. And he's actually been somewhat of a mentor to me, this particular wire wrapper. I've met a few. Really old wire wrappers from the 60s. this guy looks like
first
like Gandalf,
he's from the 60s, so then you have to, oh, he looks like Gandalf. Okay, first he looks like Gandalf. Okay, second, he's from the 60s, so how much of that is maybe drug-related or I don't know. We're just going to put it out there. So that's kind of an interesting thing along with that, too. So anyway, I think that's kind of interesting. But so how did you meet him? Was he up in the Seattle area?
No, actually, down here in up in Big Sur,
where
they have Big Sur Jade Festival. He was selling his wraps up there, and people up there call him Twister because he does a twist. And so I kind of adopted a little bit of the twist action in my work too. But then I noticed I've met a lot of other wire wrappers too, and they all do this similar twist thing that I like. Not all of them. Most people do the very, really simple wire wrap that's really looks like spaghetti wrapped around the stone, and it's not very interesting. But there's this particular style, and I've seen about 3 or 4 different wire wrappers do it, and so I've been trying to do that style with my own creative flow to it.
Right, with your own, you could definitely tell that it's been your hand on it. So before we came on, you were also sharing with me that you've got different kinds of drawing and stuff that you do. So once you do things with more of a comic book style, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, really influenced by, Jim Lee of the X-Men, who drew for the X-Men and now draws for DC. His early works were really cool, the way he got his perspectives right and the balance of weight and things like that. Just really interested in early comic book design, artwork, Marvel and Image and things like that. I was actually in a comic book company for a while called Cyber Chicken, drawing for them, and that was a lot of fun. But these days I'm just drawing when it pleases me to do so, and but mostly I just, you know, for a way of life, I choose wire wrapping. If I could, I would like to be a musician, but, you know, that doesn't make very much money.
But what kind of instrument do you play?
Well, I play piano and guitar and flute and bongos. I'm not really into drums with a whole setup and everything like that. I'm not a good drummer, but everything else I can play.
Oh, wow. So there you go. So you need to just have a few things on YouTube so you can get discovered. There you go.
That's how
it works nowadays. if it's good enough for some of these people who take over for the guy from Journey. Yeah, you think that he wound up being the new lead singer for Journey because they found him on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
Did you hear about that?
I know that.
Yeah. So stuff like that's happening on YouTube. So that's
cool.
That's very, very interesting. So, Jamie, I wanted to ask you, since Jesse's been very influenced by just different kinds of other comic books and things like that, is that something that you have that influences your tattoo art?
Comic book art, tattooing,
mm-hmm.
or influence in tattoo art?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, I guess. If that's what you want to have somebody do a tattoo of, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you could say that's definitely doable. I've actually had someone make a tattoo of wire wrap that I made for them. Their favorite piece was a moon, a crescent moon with an amethyst in the middle, with a bunch of loops and stuff swirling around like the swirls in those moon designs. You sometimes see the swirly moon designs. So I made something similar to that. Someone had it made into a tattoo. A client of mine.
Oh, most definitely. That seemed like it would translate pretty well.
Yeah, it looked just like a wire wrap on someone's arm.
Wow, that's interesting.
No, it's amazing what you can do nowadays, especially when you find the right artist. And some of the newer artists are definitely... They do a lot of work and get that published, and it's most definitely me. I just try to plod along, and I don't know. I'm not from the newer generation. I'm a little older school, but you know that's me. And but it's definitely what they can do nowadays is amazing.
I'm sure what you do is amazing too. So yeah,
you know, that have the time and the wherewithal and. Newer tools, you know, to take, you know, like do a lot more with the skin and the ink and the needles, as far as you have a wider range and aren't able to work a lot more and not have the skin so traumatized, where it heals real nice and it looks good and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's a very interesting. Have you ever thought about doing tattoos, Jesse? Tattooing art?
People have recommended it to me over
uh-huh.
the years, and I
uh-huh.
just never really wanted to get into working with needles and skin and stuff like that. It seems very, I don't know, it was kind of squeamish when it comes to needles. I guess.
Well, there you go.
But I love drawing. Well,
you wouldn't have that whole love with your stones and all that kind of going on. You know, you'd lose that ability. So how can people get a hold of you, Jesse, if they're wanting like a special wedding ring or some kind of a gift for somebody and be able to talk with you and work with that?
Jesse's Jewelry at gmail.com, I believe. Here, let me just double check that.
Make sure that we got it on there. So Jesse's Jewelry?
Yeah, Jesse's Jewelry at gmail.com. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Did you think you were telling me before that you had a blog that you do?
Yeah, there's a blog called Twisted Wire Sculptures at Blogs. Or no, it's not at Blogspot. It's just TwistedWireSculpturesBlogspot.com.
Okay, say it again real slow.
TwistedWireSculpturesBlogspot.com. No, with okay. Without any at.
Okay.
No at.
So, Twisted Wire Sculptures, okay.
Is that something that you have your own examples of your art on there?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things, you know.
Twisted Wire Sculptures, okay, and is that .com you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to check that out, yeah. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah,
and I really loved because I saw
anybody that could make something and work with their hands and make something creative and have it mean something and have that mean somebody else. It's really good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well,
good positive energy. That's good.
Yeah, it is a lot of well, just if there's energy that goes into it, the stones have their own energy as well as work with your energy, and so sometimes you need to cleanse them just to, you know.
Oh, right.
Sometimes you get a lot of energy, you know, just take some dry salts, put it in a jar, and like shake, or just leave the piece in there for a little while, shake it around, you know, just like let it sit for a few hours, let it cleanse, and then you've got a cleansed piece.
Yeah, do you use sea salt for that, or you just use any kind of salt, table salt or whatever?
I use Celtic sea salt, but then I just like the Celtic stuff, you know.
Anything Celtic, as long as it's Celtic,
Celtic.
You can have the camper. Anything Celtic,
I've been listening to some Shane McGowan lately. He's a very prolific Irish singer. Though he may not have any front teeth, he can sure sing some Irish ballads.
The guy from the Pogues?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think he's probably gotten some teeth made for himself by now, hopefully.
Really? Because, like, there was a recent...
Unless he
looks
like that, that's what he's not kind of known for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if I was him, I'd never get teeth, you know?
Or you'd have to made that you would to put him in when you weren't on stage or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
he pops out like dentures. He pops them in and out, you know. He
takes them out for stage, you know.
Yeah, he takes them out when he's on stage. And like, this is a bizarre conversation. Okay.
Are they still kind of going along?
What's that?
Are they still, is he still tour?
It's kind of slow and old now. And
I imagine.
Really drunk all the time, so... Yeah, he kind of slurs out the words. But I think they still tour. A lot of bands still tour, but I'm not sure for sure. Anyways, but that'd be something to look into.
So, do you think that was something that you did in a past life, Jesse?
I've always longed to, you know, have an Irish heart. You know, just want to live in some stoic place in the middle of nowhere with my sheep and tend to them.
There you go.
On my own land, out in somewhere. And, well, me and my girlfriend, I call her my lamb, you know, because she's my sweet lamb. And she dreams of a castle every night. Every night,
oh, wow.
She has the same dream. She's always off the coast of some rolling Irish hills, you know, jetting out of some water with a castle just, you know, off the coast right there. And I've actually been in her dream before, where
that's
it was
cool.
Me and her.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the castle, you know. Kind of cool.
Well,
yeah, magical.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you guys have definitely had past lives together, and you get to be in, you know, you're off the coast, but here it's in California instead of having it be in Ireland.
So that's a little warmer, a little different continent, but that's going to be good.
You know, those cold, drafty castles, they're just way overrated for what they are. You know how that goes. It sounds romantic until you're hanging out in the middle of the winter in a castle.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
So
it's interesting how they always make them all romanticized, and then, you know, people talk about being in Ireland in the wintertime and how cold it is.
There are some really nice castles, you know, somewhere. There are nice castles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have a castle here. We have a Hearst Castle. The Hearst
Castle?
Yes, Hearst Castle.
My God.
Oh, of course.
Well, Hearst Castle isn't like an Irish castle.
No, but it's still a pretty grand,
for
what it is.
More Mexican style, like Spanish style.
Right.
Built up. Well, my godmother is a researcher for the castle. She's written 4 books for it.
Oh, my.
Her name is Victoria Castor. She just got back from London signing all these books and stuff. But she took me for tours there when I was a kid, and she showed me the secret passageways. And so I know how to get in and out of that castle if I wanted to.
That's cool. That's very cool.
So it's like I'm connected to a castle in a way, even though I'm not in Ireland.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well,
it's
just that another castle connection. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
if you if you've never gone to the Hearst Castle and taken a tour, it's quite a really unique opportunity. San Simeon, that's the area of, say, it's in San Simeon, but it's called Hearst Castle. So
that's probably
a pretty
tony area, I bet, isn't it?
It's what?
Pretty tony area, I bet, huh?
Tony?
Tony, well, yeah, like ritzy, rich, posh.
Not really.
You got a mixture. You got like Morro Bay is really like, you know, it's kind of building up. It's more of a fisherman's town.
It's like a fisherman's village, really, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fisherman village.
It's a little kind of sleepy town kind of a thing. And but Hearst still, the Hearst family still own quite a bit of the acreage that's there, and they still have a winery and all that kinds of stuff. And just for that area of California, they really still have a significant handprint in just a lot of the different things that they did. So when we were going around Cambria, there was definitely an influence of Hearst and things like that, just in some nonprofit organizations, and they were having like a fundraiser that day, and Hearst had its own little table, and it was doing different stuff with the winery and cattle.
The movie Citizen Kane kind of loosely based, so that would be like Xanadu.
I don't know if I'd compare it to Xanadu, but
I think of the Newton John,
you know, with her thing. It wasn't like that kind of Xanadu, but anyway, you know how that goes. So, like normal, our 30 minutes just whizzes by, guys. So I want to thank, I know, isn't that fast? Thank you, Jesse, so much for being on. And we're looking forward to it. And thank you, Mr. Jamie, for always being on. And next time we'll be talking to you. We're going to have another special guest from Morro Bay next week. So we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.